We can trust in Jesus because he's above all powers and all authorities. And in his name, we have authority.
That's right.
Over all the powers of darkness.
That's right.
We do not need to fear. We're going to hear a lot more about this from our brother Randy, who's with us today. I've known Randy for about 4 or 5 years. We worked together in Global Disciples. Randy was a coach to me for a while. We meet often. It was such a huge encouragement in my life. He's been someone else who helped me with prayer and just experiencing God's power, releasing and blessing me in so many beautiful ways. Mm. Currently, Randy, you're the chief program officer for
That's
Global
right.
Disciples, which means he's basically overseeing all the programs around the world. Yeah. Global Disciples working in the least reached areas of the world, so many, more than 70 countries, I believe.
Yeah.
Randy's path started off first in Kenya when he was a child, children of missionaries, and then later he's continued in missions almost all of your life.
Yeah.
And so we're just really privileged to have him with us today. His travels often take him to places that are very dangerous, but he's a man of courage and also listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide him every step of the way. Let's pray together for Randy. Lord, we are so thankful that we can come together around your word today. And we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, teach us to be your warriors. Teach us to be, Lord, those who are carrying the cross of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Knowing, Lord, that we have a calling, that we have a purpose, and that you are with us. You strengthen us, you give us life. And you give us power and authority in the name of Jesus. So bless our brother, Lord. Open your word to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Tim. The Lord has sent you a wonderful shepherd. We miss Tim at Global Disciples, and he has been a gift to the church worldwide. He has been equipping men and women in worship to discern and be able to enter the presence of God. And my wife is also a worship leader and a musician, a voice coach. And one of my favorite memories of one of our equipping events was when Tim and my wife did some opera together. They did a song together. And you got to imagine, you know, a lot of these village pastors who were training, they've never heard music like this before. I mean, everyone just sat up and is like, what is this? So Tim is a multi-gifted leader, and you are blessed to have him here at Mount Joy. The work that God has called us to takes us into many different places, and my job, and I would say all of our jobs, is to walk with Jesus in unbroken fellowship. That's
good.
Our job. And when we walk it with him, and our lines of communication are open, he's able to do his work through us. And that is an incredible privilege. There's nothing more strategic that you can do with your life than put it in the hands of God. I was in Zambia doing some training, and then I was invited to speak at a church a couple of months ago in Lusaka. And after the service, I can't remember what we were teaching on, but after the service, I was with some pastors in the study. And I was talking to them about SQ. I'd mentioned it in the service, and they were asking me more questions about SQ. You know, IQ? EQ, emotional intelligence. SQ, spiritual intelligence. I define it as our Holy Spirit formed capacity to know God and to cooperate with his transforming work.
So good.
So it's your God awareness. How aware are you of God's work in your life and in the world around you? The degree to which you're aware, your level of SQ determines how God can work in you and through you. And so anyways, we were going down that track, talking about that. These pastors were asking questions. And then a young man came in who was a medical school student there in the medical training college. He was, I think, 1 year away from becoming a doctor. And he said, I need prayer for healing. I said, okay, what's your symptoms? What's going on? He said, I have an itch. Not just a little itch, it's all over my body. I cannot stop it. It's 24/7. I have been scratching and trying to deal with this for 7 years. It's when I'm sleeping. It's when I'm like all through the day. I can't focus. I can't study. It's a distraction. It's just driving me crazy. I've had multiple diagnoses. Nothing has worked. I said, okay. I said, SQ means we ask God before we pray. We heard the symptoms, right? We heard the symptoms, but now let's ask God how to pray. So we just paused, a group of pastors, myself, this young man. His name was Shadrach. Lord, you know, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? Show us how to pray. Teach us to pray. As we're praying this, the Lord says, tell him to stand up. So I have nothing. I got nothing else but just listening and obeying. I said, stand up. I stand up. As soon as he stood up, I knew this was going to be a confrontation. Mm. I said, look at me. And the Lord just said, look him right in the eye. I said, look at me. And then I took authority. Any unclean spirit oppressing this young man, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of hiding, expose yourself. You're under the authority of Jesus Christ. Immediately this man began trembling. Not in a voluntary way, an involuntary tremble. And he said, ouch! I said, what's that? He said, it feels like somebody just stabbed me in the back. I said, that's an unclean spirit. So you agree with me? He said, okay. I said, take authority now, and then just repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, this unclean spirit who's now oppressing me. And I said, Lord, show me what it is. What is the name and identity of this thing? And I sensed the Lord saying, it's a generational blood curse. And so I said, I led this young man in renouncing and repenting for a generational blood curse in his family. Mm. This is a Christian family. Parents, Christians. He broke that blood curse. Why? How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That blood speaks a better word than any other blood sacrifice or any other curse.
That's right.
So he spoke that out, and we renounced that blood curse, canceled it, and then in the name of Jesus, we bound that unclean spirit, commanded it to go. There was a manifestation of this unclean spirit's presence in his body, and then, boom, it was gone. Wow. He looked at me and said, wow, it's gone. I said, yeah, it's gone. The angels of God just took that thing and brought it into the presence of Jesus, and that spirit will not oppress you again. Ooh. Okay, we just prayed a sealing prayer over him, asked the Holy Spirit to fill him. He left. Texted me the next morning. He said, that is gone. I had a perfect night.
Come on.
There's no symptoms. There's no itchiness. I'm free.
So good. So good.
Isn't Jesus amazing? You can see symptoms and you can be confused. We can pray about symptoms. Better to ask God, what's the cause, right? That's SQ. How high is your SQ? Your capacity to see and to hear spiritually is your SQ. Your capacity to cooperate with the Holy Spirit is your SQ. That testimony of a house that was haunted, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? It's a great testimony, right? But how do you feel as you hear about the symptoms, the things going on in the house? How does that make you feel? Hmm. I get a little bit angry. I get angry. I'm like, you're defiling somebody's house. Get out. Hmm. Get out. I get a little bit angry when the enemy's defiling somebody's life.
Right.
Like, get out. What are you doing there? I gave my life to Christ when I was 19. And I was on a backpacking trip through the Israel, Middle East, North Africa, and I ended up in a youth hostel, heard the gospel, and I gave my life to Christ. I started sharing Jesus with people right away. First person I shared Jesus with in this youth hostel was a member of Hell's Angels Motorcycle Gang. I had no idea what these guys were about. This guy gave his life to Christ that night. It was a total setup from God. Someone had been witnessing to him the whole prior year. And he had resisted and just mocked him and everything, but he was desperate. And the Lord just brought him to the youth hostel. I sat down with him. I shared Christ with him. And he gave his life to Christ. I didn't know what to do. I brought him up to a room in the youth hostel. I said, kneel down, confess all your sin. And he did that. And then I tried to bring him to church with me, and he manifested a demon. On the way to church, started throwing up, looked at me. This voice said, we own him. I said, who are you? Who are you? This is my new friend who's given his life to Christ. Who are you? Found out this guy's been was a demon worshiper for years in Hell's Angels. And anyways, long story short, he got set free. But I saw a couple of my friends get set free as a young Christ follower, and I determined I was going to learn how to fight for the freedom of my generation.
Come on. So good.
So that word in the scriptures is called overcomer. It's an overcomer. And I'm thankful to join your series here on the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12 gives us a picture. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz and the curtain gets pulled back and you realize the guy doesn't have clothes. That's kind of what the book of Revelation gives us, a picture of what's happening on earth and what's happening in the unseen realm. And Revelation 12 is a very clear picture. We're not going to read it here this morning, the whole thing, but there is a large red dragon. And the large red dragon is positioned at the feet of a woman who's pregnant, and she's about to give birth. She's about to give birth. And this child that's going to come out of her is going to be a male child who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And this child is a prophetic picture of Jesus. This is the birth of Jesus that's being prophesied or being described. And the red dragon is there to devour Jesus. So this is the spiritual battle that's happening in the unseen realm. But we know what happened in the physical, the natural realm. Historically, this man, Jesus, was born to a set of parents, Mary and Joseph. And we know that there was a insanely jealous, crazy king named Herod, excuse me, who was opposing this, who was threatened by the prophesied birth of the Messiah. We know that he sent his soldiers, Roman soldiers, into Bethlehem to kill all these babies. We know that like hundreds, maybe thousands of babies, probably hundreds, were killed in the city of Bethlehem around the time of Christ's birth. We know that this red dragon was speaking and working through a political leader named Herod. Revelation 12 gives you the backstory, like Paul Harvey, the radio commentator. Now you know the rest of the story. There's a guy named Herod who wants to kill Jesus. But behind Herod is a great big red dragon who wants to devour the offspring of the woman. It's not just this story that manifests or describes what's going on in the unseen realm. This is the reality that you and I live with. There is an unseen realm around us, inhabited by angels and unclean spirits, demons. We live in a materialistic, rationalistic, scientific, Western worldview. Right? That's our worldview. That's our culture. And when we come to Christ, he doesn't just forgive our sins and save us. He invites us into a different culture, a different worldview, a different way of looking at the world. Sorry to say, many Christians have not yet adopted a biblical worldview.
That's right.
We're still looking for reality based on the five steps of scientific methodology. If you can't touch it and feel it, and you know, it's not real. The Bible speaks of an unseen realm around us. If you want to think of different levels of reality, you have heaven. You have a place of judgment called hell. You have this physical world, creation. And then you have an unseen realm around this world inhabited by fallen angels. Revelation 12 says a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven through a rebellion. That's Satan and his forces. They live on this planet harassing, trying to interfere with the work of God. It says in Revelation 12 that he's filled with fury because his time is short. Mm. And so he's filled with fury against God and his kingdom. And if you give your life to Jesus, you automatically become his enemy because you stand for the purposes of God and his kingdom. So whether you want to or not, whether you are aware of this or not, if you stand with Christ, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. You are in a spiritual battle. And that battle is not just against your own sinful nature. It's also against the powers of darkness. The ways of this world are sinful nature and the powers of darkness. A biblical worldview requires faith and humility. We've got to trust what God's word says about what's real and then live in light of it. Revelation 12 shows us as well that the script has been written. The end of the story has already been written. The enemy knows that his time is short. He's angry. But he is angry because Christ is victorious. Our enemy in this chapter is described as a devourer. The red dragon's at the feet of the woman looking to devour this Christ child. The enemy is a devourer, not just in that context. He's a devourer in every context. He wants to devour the work of God. He wants to devour it in your life and in my life. He wants to consume anything that stands in the way of him just leading the world into rebellion. And so he's a devourer. He's also a deceiver. Verse 4 is a devourer. Verse 9, he's a deceiver. He leads the whole world astray. He is the author at some level of world religions, all kinds of heresies and belief systems around the world. He's a deceiver. He's the author of those belief systems. He's also an accuser. Verse 10 says he accuses our brothers and sisters. He accuses us before God day and night. He's a devourer, he's a deceiver, and he's an accuser. But verse 11 gives us a window on who we are. And this is the invitation this morning. We are described as overcomers. They, us, the church, overcame him, triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. This is a description of overcomers. And it's also a description of our weapons. And so overcomers know their authority in Christ, and they know their weapons. Thank you. The blood of the Lamb, our first weapon. In the face of the accuser, we've got a weapon, and that's the blood of Christ. Now, what is the blood of the Lamb? What is this? What are we talking about? That's like archaic language, the blood of the Lamb. What's the Lamb? This is not a Lamb, this is the Lamb. Jesus was the Lamb of God. John said when he saw him, John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the Lamb. Jesus, as you know, was crucified at Passover. Passover is a Jewish feast that remembers, that commemorates the passage of the Jews out of Egypt into the Promised Land, and the avenging angel went and took the firstborn of every family in Egypt. And he went to the doorposts, he went to the houses of the Jews, and those who had applied the blood of a lamb to their doorpost, you saw the oil that Josh was applying to, or that our brother there was applying to the doorposts of his house, that haunted house on the video. The blood of the Lamb was applied to the doorposts of people's homes, and when the avenging angel went past, he passed over their houses,
right?
Because he saw the blood.
Right.
Jesus gave his life. His blood was shed so that God's wrath against sin would not fall on your life and my life.
That's right.
If you apply the blood of the Lamb to your life, you are redeemed. You are set apart, and God's wrath against sin will not touch your life. You want this. Trust me. You want to know this. You want this applied to your life. This is the blood of the Lamb. Now, how does that play out? When we walk in sin, which we all do, every one of us here is sinning, okay? When we walk in sin, we have to humble ourselves, agree with what God already knows about our lives, repent, and turn our hearts to God and
right.
say, forgive me. We are applying through that act of faith, that prayer, the blood of the Lamb to our lives. And it can cleanse us from a guilty conscience. The Holy Spirit who indwells us is very good at pointing out when we stray from God's ways, when we grieve God, and when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we respond, we ask Jesus, cleanse me with your blood. I repent. And I'm asking for your cleansing, your atoning work in my life. I confess, I agree, forgive me. That's like discipleship 101. When you come to Jesus, you have a way to no longer live under the oppression of a guilty conscience.
Right.
And there's nothing more free. I used to live, you know, just bound up. I was a prodigal. And I lived bound up. It'd take me hours to fall asleep at night. All these thoughts. I'm doing all kinds of really bad things. And I got no way of getting out of it. My heart's kind of heavy. My mind is churning. I got lots of stuff going on. And the first thing that I noticed when I surrendered my life to Christ and I asked for cleansing, freedom, forgiveness, and began fighting this battle, resisting the enemy, first thing I noticed was just peace. Peace in my mind. Peace in my heart. It's an incredible gift. If you're not walking in that peace today, I want you to know there's a weapon that can set you free. The blood of Christ can set you free. The blood of Christ can cleanse you. Of course, you got to repent. You got to say, I'm done with that. I'm turning. I'm going the other way. You got to repent. We have got an enemy who's trying to take us out. Many people today are being slimed, right? Slimed by pornography. Pornography is a very deceptive trap. If you're in that trap, you can be set free here this morning. Okay? You don't have to walk out of here bound by that besetting sin. You can be set free.
Come on.
I don't know what the issues are, but I'm telling you, whatever your issue is, I've prayed with people that are gambling addicts. Prayed with people that are, you know, just involved in all kinds of stuff. Go to church, but we got stuff that's holding us back from walking in peace and freedom. I was in Thailand a few weeks ago, and I just had the Lord send me to a mission leader. This is a guy who's leading the fastest growing church planting movement in Thailand. They've seen 100,000 people come to Christ in the last 8 years. And that's, in Thailand, that's crazy numbers. But this guy has had conflicts with a lot of other leaders in the country. And the Lord sent me to him just for him. Now, I work with program strategy. So when I show up, we talk program strategy. We talk about, hey, this is how we could assist you in setting up a disciple-making program. He's expecting that kind of a conversation. But I said, just tell me your story. He's telling me a story. Grew up as a missionary kid. Parents, pioneer missionaries in Thailand. Speaks Thai fluently. He's brilliant. Thais totally accept him. He knows Thai. He was Thai. He is Thai. He also is American. He said, I was educated in a missionary school next door, another country outside of Thailand. As soon as he said that, I just knew something. I just knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Something happened to him at that school. I said, were you hurt there? He looks at me. I said, what happened? He was bullied, okay? He wasn't sexually abused. He was bullied. That bullying opened him up to a spirit of rejection. That spirit was on him. That spirit was on him. He was projecting rejection. He was anticipating rejection. Now, he's an anointed leader. You got to know this. He's an anointed leader. He's a respected leader. He's also somebody who's lived under rejection. for many, many years. And I just, by the grace of God, called it out. And I said, you got a spirit of rejection and it's been plaguing you. He's like, how do you know that? I said, the Holy Spirit just showed that to me. And he just started opening up this whole inner narrative of rejection. He's got a tape going on inside his head that's based, you may well just call the tape rejection. That tape keeps playing. If you've got a tape going on in your head, like a repetitive thought sequence, or you have a dialogue, an inner dialogue where you are having imaginary conversations with people that are not healthy. Like you're in conflict with somebody and you're having imaginary conversations. You know what I'm talking about? That is not God. You are under demonic attack. Okay? Listen to me. You can get set free from that. You can eject those tapes and you can be free this morning.
Come on. It's a good word.
You ready for that? You want that? Yeah. You want to eject those tapes?
Amen.
There's hope for you. That inner dialogue can stop. I don't care what it is. Fear, lust, whatever those tapes are that keep cycling through, you can end that today. So I told this guy that. And he agreed. And so we went back to the root. We forgave. This guy forgave guys who have hurt him decades ago in this missionary school. He forgave them. We took authority over any roots that rejection had. And he just took authority over that unclean spirit in Jesus' name. And we commanded that thing to go. And wow. Wow. This guy's walking in freedom. Unbelievable. I stayed with him for 24 hours. He's after about, you know, 6-7 hours. He's like, you want to talk about program? I said, no. The Lord said, no program. I'm here for you. He said, what? I said, yeah. You came just for me? I said, yeah, I came just for you. He started crying. The Lord knows your name here this morning. I want you to know Jesus came for you. He came for you. He wants to set you free. That's good news. The blood of the Lamb is powerful. It is powerful. It can cleanse, forgive, heal. Where does the blood of the Lamb need to be applied to our lives here this morning? Secondly, the word of our testimony. Jesus promised us as his disciples that we'd receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. We'd be his witnesses. We're his martyrs. So those who are willing to lay their lives down in service of the Lord, we're his witnesses. We bear testimony to what he's done in our lives. There is such power in the proclamation of the truth of who God is, what God's done, and what he wants to do in our lives. We overcome by the word of our testimony. Again, the enemy is an accuser, and we respond with the blood of Christ.
Right.
He is a deceiver. We respond as overcomers with the word of our testimony. In the face of his lies and deceptions, we have a word of truth. That word is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That truth is also the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
That's right.
This is God. This is God's revealed truth. When you use the word of God in prayer against the enemy, you have a weapon. You have a sword. And so we internalize the word of God. We learn the word of God. We memorize it, and then we use it in battle. We also give testimony to the word of God internalized into our lives, applied, and then lived. That's the testimony that Jesus invites us to give. Not the testimony of what happened to other people, but your story of how you've received the truth of God. You've responded in faith and obedience. It's become real in you, and now it's bearing fruit. that testimony, and every one of us who's a disciple of Jesus here this morning has a testimony. You got a testimony. The enemy wants to rob you of that testimony and say it's not really all that important. I'm telling you, it is important. We just saw a video. Wouldn't it be amazing if there was like videos happening every week here of your testimonies?
Come on.
Of how the way you've received the Word of God,
right,
applied it, and now you're giving testimony to its power to transform. That builds faith in God's people. I can have that same experience. Mm. So the testimony is a weapon. It's a weapon. The enemy wants to keep you quiet and keep you from giving testimony. Now, many of us come from Mennonite backgrounds. I mean, some of us do, okay? And that's one of the things that, I mean, that's one of our issues. I'm going to talk like a Mennonite now. That's one of our issues. We're quiet. We're the quiet in the land. We learned, keep our head down, stay out of trouble, and you won't get your head taken off. Okay, that's the truth. A lot of us died. Our ancestors died. They were slaughtered in some of these communities in Europe. And we learned, keep your head down, work hard. Your testimony is your hard work, your family. That's your testimony. But we don't talk too much about our faith. I want you to know, when you are a disciple of Christ, when you know Jesus, not just know about Jesus, not just religion, but it's a living relationship, and you know the person of the Holy Spirit, you have the power to give a testimony in your place of work, in your neighborhood. You got something to say. You got something to say. When the topic comes up of spiritual stuff, you can refer to this testimony you heard this morning. I know someone who's had that kind of thing in their house, and this is what happened. I want you to know you can get set free from that stuff. Jesus can set you free. What the enemy wants to stop you from doing is saying the name of Jesus. When's the last time you said his name? Say it right now. Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again. Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Jesus. There's power in that name.
Yeah.
If you're an overcomer, you know that. You know that. The word of our testimony. I had a friend in northern Kenya. His name's Benson. He invited me up there to do a leadership conference a few months ago. And so he invited all these guys. I had no idea who was showing up. It's an outdoor meeting. This is Benson. He's been a follower of Jesus for quite a while now. But he was a street boy. He was a street boy living on the streets, finding scraps, finding any food he could. He gave his life to Christ. I think he was 17 or 18. And boy, has God used this young man. He committed himself to reaching the least reached, and he's from the Turkana people in northern Kenya. So it's a tough place. It's a desert place. There's 20 unreached tribes in his region, 20 tribes that have no gospel witness, and he is focused on those 20 tribes.
Come on.
There's two main warring clans in that area. There's the Turkana, and there's the Pokot. So he didn't tell me this, but he invited a bunch of these Pokot people as well, Turkana people, Pokot, to this leadership conference. And I was talking just about healthy leadership and servant leadership, and I called them to forgive each other. I called them to wash each other's feet. We did a foot washing with these guys. What I didn't realize is that when the Turkana guys or the Pokot guys went into the washrooms, outside kind of washrooms, they brought a person with them. Can you believe this? Covering their six. You know what I'm saying? Because these two tribes hate each other. They've been killing each other. There's endless blood feuds between these two tribes. They steal each other's cattle. They steal each other's wives. They kill each other. And now these guys have all come to Christ. I said, Benson, who's in the room here? He says, these guys are all former bandits.
Wow. Come
okay,
on.
Okay, that's good to know. Former bandits. So when they go into the washroom, they got a guy with them. Why? Because they're afraid somebody's going to stick a knife between their ribs. You know? when they're distracted. Boom. So they got, this is a Christian conference, and they're bringing a guy with them into the men's room to cover their backside. Craziness. Craziness. So we did a foot washing. Pocote and Turkana guys are washing each other's feet for the first time. They are crying, and they're like, we never thought we would ever do this. We are serving our enemies. But that's the power of a word of testimony. Like, the testimony isn't just a private thing. If you've met Jesus, it's not enough to just have that hidden in your heart.
Come on.
You got to talk about it.
That's right.
It's got to affect how you treat your enemies. Are you hearing me? It's got to change how you relate to people. So these guys are walking that out. So I said, so you go into communities like Pocote, like East Turkana, Benson's Turkana. You go into Pocote communities? Yeah, I do. What happens? Well, he said, here's the thing. They're remote, so I have to walk for many days. I run out of water. I can't carry water anymore. I run out of water. What do? He said, I drink cow urine. I said, come again? I drink cow urine to hydrate. I said, is that like, you get sick? He's like, there's grace on that. I said, come on. No. So he's drinking cow urine. He says, I come up to these villages, and because they're suspicious and they don't know me, and they might, they think I could be carrying a weapon, I got to take my clothes off. I said, what? He said, I take my clothes off. It's hot up there. People don't wear a lot of clothes anyways, but I take my clothes off so I disarm myself. I said, you go into a village naked? He said, yeah. What? And he said, you have to be willing, prepared to take an arrow. They could shoot you. He said, we're praying for disciple makers to reach these last 20 people groups. I said, so you're praying for people to be trained who are willing to drink cow urine, share the gospel naked, and get killed. Is that right? He said, yeah, that's about right. I said, I don't know anybody in my home church that will do that. Is there anyone here that's up for that? I don't think so. That's why we train people in near culture mission. We train someone in the tribe right next to them to live that way, right? Does that make sense? Because they're up for this challenge.
Wow.
So we're training Benson and a whole bunch of people he's pulling together to share the gospel with their neighbors in costly ways. When you overcome in those kind of challenging places, it's going to cost you something. Benson is an overcomer. Are you an overcomer? Don't call yourself one if you're not. That's a high calling. An overcomer. An overcomer shares a word of testimony when the situation presents itself. They're not afraid. They don't live under the fear of man. They share a word of testimony. They know the power of the blood of the Lamb and the power of a word of testimony. We're invited to be overcomers. Philippians chapter verse 6, Philemon verse 6 says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That's the earlier NIV translation. So I pray that you might be active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That's a reminder that there's good things in Christ that you can only access when you're verbal in sharing what Jesus has done for you. I want to encourage you this week, ask the Lord for one person to share Jesus with. Ask God for an opportunity this week for a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Can you step up to that invitation? In faith, ask God for an opportunity to share one testimony.
That's good.
You're an overcomer. Those testimonies can set people free. Thirdly, overcomers love not their lives unto death. Hmm. Wow. They love not, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So for many of us, we're probably not going to be asked to lay your life down physically. But if you're a disciple of Christ, you will be invited to die daily. And that death is often more costly and more painful than being martyred in some crazy way. That death is a death to self. It's a death to the self life. And that is the mark of a disciple of Jesus. Mm-hmm. If you have not chosen willingly to walk that path of denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus, if you have not done that, you're not a disciple of Jesus. Okay? I know that he's forgiven your sin, but you're not a disciple. A disciple gets this. They deny themselves. Mm-hmm. This whole world, in the Western world in particular, is set up to help you find yourself, to help you maximize your potential, to live a fulfilled and happy life. That's what this whole Western worldview is based on. I'm telling you, it's not the same as this path of discipleship. That's a different path. That's a broad path. This path is a narrow path. Not many people find it. Don't call yourself a disciple if you're not. A disciple has surrendered their life to Jesus. And they know it's no longer about them. It's no longer about them. They now belong to Jesus. They follow Jesus. They deny themselves. They take up their cross and they follow Jesus. This is really misunderstood. This is not well understood. And if you're like, I haven't heard this before, then, you know, stay with me here. I'll give you a paraphrase of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 is a chapter where Jesus feeds like thousands of people with a few loaves of bread, a couple of fish. It's this Gentile feeding miracle, right? So there's 4,000 people. They've been listening to Jesus' teaching for a couple of days. They're engaged, but their food ran out. They're hungry. They're in some rural setting near the Sea of Galilee, and it's, you know, 3 days in, people are hungry. I mean, the teaching is amazing. But after a while, you know, your stomach kind of takes over. And they're like, we got to get food. The disciples are like, we got to send people away because we got no food for these people. And Jesus is like, well, what do you have? And a couple of fish and some bread. And okay, so he prays over it, and it's multiplied. And we know what happens. 4,000 people, 4,000 men, probably 10,000 people, end up getting fed from a few loaves of bread and some fish. Big miracle. So people are all excited. I mean, everyone's like, there's a buzz. And then he leaves that crowd with his disciples. They cross the lake, and there's somebody who's blind. And Jesus heals this guy who's blind. And on the way, there's like this this conversation. Jesus said, you bring any bread? He says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the followers of Herod. And the disciples are like, is it because we forgot bread? And Jesus says, like, it's not about the bread, guys. It's about the teachings of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and those Herodians, people who believe that there's, the people who believe that the answers that this world needs are found in politics. Okay? That's the Herodians.
Mm.
Politics won't save you.
Mm.
You know? Newsflash.
Come on.
Politics won't save you. Politics are not the answer. We need a praying church.
Right.
That's
right.
We need
a praying church. We need revival amongst God's people.
That's right.
That's where the life is. It's the life of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Okay? We have a different story and a different leader. His name is Jesus. Hmm. So he's calling them to, you know, beware of the yeast of the Herodians and the yeast of the Pharisees. And he's thinking, are these guys getting it? So he asked them, who do people say that I am? Well, some people say that you are John the Baptist come back from the dead. John the Baptist was martyred. Okay. Others say you are a prophet, you know, some maybe Elijah or someone else who's come back. Okay. How about you guys? Who do you say that I am? Peter's like, I got this one. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You're the one we were supposed to be expecting. Jesus said, that's right. That's right. And as the Messiah, I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be tortured, beaten. I'm going to be crucified. And then I'll rise from the dead. What? The disciples are looking at him like, what? And Peter says, guys, I got this. I'll talk to him, and you know, we'll stop this whole narrative. This is not going to happen. So Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, you're not going to die. Right? Why? The disciples have watched him feed thousands of people. I mean, you can eradicate world hunger. Think about this. They've watched him heal a blind guy. You can eradicate all disease. I mean, scale this. Think about it. You can wipe out all the problems in the world. You are the one. We've been waiting for you, and you're going to get rid of these crazy Roman soldiers who've been making our lives hell. So you're going to clean the slate, get rid of our enemies, heal, feed. You are the Messiah. You're not going to die. Jesus realized, okay, this is our team leader. He wants to talk me out of this. So Jesus looks at his team leader and says, get behind me,
Satan.
Satan, what? What? I'm telling you, if Satan can speak through Peter, he can speak through you.
That's right.
Whoa. This spiritual warfare is not somewhere way out there in some airy-fairy place. It can happen in your home. You can be the voice of the enemy in your situations. You can adopt those thoughts that are not of God. And Jesus says to Peter, you don't have in mind the things of God. In other words, your mind is not being controlled by the Spirit of God. You got to eject that tape, buddy. You got to switch that channel off. And so Peter is rebuked. And then Jesus realizes this is the time to contend for what it means to be a disciple. So he says, hey, everyone in here, disciples, crowd, everyone, hey, listen up. If you want to follow me, if you want to be known as my disciple, any of you, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In other words, I'm not the only one who's dying here.
Right.
You will die too. I was just in Baku, Azerbaijan, 2 weeks ago. 1 week ago, I was in Azerbaijan, Baku. I was at the site next to the Zoroastrian Tower, right downtown Baku in the old city. That's where Bartholomew, one of the 12 apostles, was martyred right there. He shared the gospel, and they killed him right there. They got a church over top of where this happened, and they're like, this is where Bartholomew was martyred. If you're a disciple, you give testimony, and you're up against powers of darkness, you might die. The good news is it's not the end. The good news is you live forever.
That's right.
The good news is you have eternal life inside of you.
That's right.
And the relationship you began with Jesus is forever. So because of that, you're not afraid. Those 12 apostles went to the nations. They all died in different places. I've seen, I think now, three burial locations, martyrdom locations of the apostles. That's historic. That's history. That's not just makeup stuff. That's history. Those guys died because they believed in this person named Jesus. They believed in the resurrection, and they believed that that resurrection life was in them and was forever. And so that's the good news, is that we can offer our lives to Jesus as disciples, and we're not afraid.
That's right.
We're not afraid of what the future looks like. What are you going to do, kill me? Like, we live forever. So that those people who have overcome their fear of death are powerful, dangerous. Want to live that way? You want to live with that kind of freedom? Do you? Do you want to face death with faith and hope and confidence? Do you? It's a better way to live. It's a better way to live. Overcomers live that way. We love not our lives unto death. In other words, it's not about my life, saving my life. It's about Jesus and his life being lived through me.
That's right.
It's a better way to live. Are you an overcomer? Are you an overcomer? I get to work with some pretty interesting people, and they've got crazy stories. There's a guy named Patrick in Cameroon. I was just at a training with him a few months ago, and I just asked him a few questions over a meal. He shared this crazy story. He said he'd just come back from a kidnapping. I said, what? He said, yeah, I was going to share the gospel with these people. We had this unreached area in Cameroon, and then I got kidnapped on the motorcycle taxi. And it was a checkpoint, bunch of rebels pulled me into the forest. There's a couple other people that had been pulled out of their vehicles. They put a gun to your head. They like phone your family right now, and they ask for cash. You want to live? Get cash. Your life is cheap, according to them. They're going to blow your brains out if you don't have cash. For that reason, he doesn't travel with a phone. Can you imagine this? He knows this is going to happen. He still goes. He leaves his phone at home because he doesn't want to get, you know, blackmailed. Let's watch his story. It's unusual.
Hi, my name is Patrick Duncan. I'm from Cameroon in the English speaking section. It happened that I went out to reach out to the refugees in one part of the country where the war is taking place. So I was on a motorbike arriving at the point where the separatist fighters are found. They pulled me off the bike and took me into the bush. And right there before me, they shot a man who was equally kidnapped on his leg. And they asked me, tell me why are we not going to kill you? Tell me why we should not kill you right now? I was so frightened. My tongue was dry. My throat was dry. I just said, I'm a pastor. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I was afraid that they'll pull the trigger because my mouth was dry, my throat was dry, and finally they said, they laughed, and after that they said, pray. Can you pray? You see a pastor, pray. Begin to pray, it was above me because my throat was dry. And I said, okay. And I just prayed with them. After praying with them, they took my suit, they took the blouson that I was putting on, they took it away, took most of the thing that I was having on my shoe. And they released me. Now, reaching the refugees, there were many of them there waiting for the gospel. I shared the gospel with them. Many of them were saved. About 30 were saved. And I planted a church there. About 20 of them were fellowshipping in that church. And I give glory to God for saving my life again after I've been kidnapped about 3 times. When I'm going out to share the gospel or to supervise work. I've dedicated my life to reach out to the least to reach. No amount of separatist fighters will stop me not to reach out to them. As long as I live, I'll keep till the day the Lord said you will not grow anymore, then I'll stop. Thank you so much.
That guy's no Rambo, he's not walking around with some attitude. He's a humble man who's gonna keep sharing the gospel until Jesus says stop. He's going to least reach. You hear that? He's been kidnapped 3 times. How many of us would keep going back to places where we've been kidnapped? Knowing that behind those kidnappers, in behind those, you know, are people that have never heard of Jesus, who are desperate, who are going to die without knowing who Jesus is. This guy's motivated. He's loving not his life unto death.
Wow.
Are you an overcomer? Gut check time here. Okay? Are we okay with this?
Yeah.
Are you an overcomer? Yes. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. Overcomers are used by God to bring transformation to their families, their neighborhoods, their nations, and the world. We are in a spiritual battle. It's real. We have an enemy, but we are called overcomers. Jesus is inviting us today to step up to that calling. Step up. Wherever the application is in your life, say yes.
That's right.
Say yes. If there's any area in your life that you know you need the blood of the Lamb, the cleansing, freeing blood of the Lamb, say yes. Any invitation to share the gospel this week, this month, you might say, I've never really done that before. But today I want to tell the Lord, I'm available. I will give a word of testimony as you open up the opportunity. Say yes. As it relates to your life, the potential of your life, you don't know what's happening in the future, but you do know that I'm willing to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. I'm a disciple. I'm not just a convert. I'm a disciple.
That's right.
I know who I am. I'm a disciple who's an overcomer. This story in Revelation ends with an incredible wedding. It's a wedding that you were all invited to. I was in Cairo once, Cairo, Egypt. Hot, I don't know, really hot, like 100 plus, high humidity, August, and I was looking for some relief. The hotel I was staying in, air conditioning was busted, so I was hot, and they don't wear short pants there in summertime, so you're wearing long pants. And then, but it was 9 o'clock at night. I got to the hotel, and I just wanted some cool air. And I just thought, I'm gonna walk a couple blocks away is the Nile River. I'm gonna walk next to the Nile. I'm gonna cool off and go to sleep. So I put my shorts on, and I thought, okay, this, you know, I think I'm under the cover of darkness. It's going to be okay. I got no meetings. I'm just going to walk outside. So I put a T-shirt on, some shorts, and I head for the elevator, and I hear this sound. Boom. Boom. I'm thinking, are these people doing renovations at 9 o'clock at night? This is wrong. And so I get to the elevator, press the lobby button, and the elevator's going down, and the sound is getting louder. Boom. Boom. I'm thinking, what is going on in this hotel? So I get down to the lobby. The door opens, and there in front of me are like a couple of hundred people dressed in suits, like their finest clothes. And there is a bride about 20 feet from me. She's at the foot of a spiral marble staircase, and her father is beside her, and there is a wedding party coming down the spiral staircase, and the attendants of the bridegroom, it's like some parade coming down the staircase, and the lead guy has got a great big marching drum, and he's going, boom, boom. And my first thought is the door opened. This is sick, but I'm thinking about my legs. I'm thinking, like, I got my legs are exposed. These people are all wearing suits. I'm underdressed, obviously, for this event. I'm not walking through this crowd with shorts on. Is anyone looking at me? Anyone? No. Where's every set of eyes in that room?
Bride.
What are they looking at? Their eyes are on the bride, and then they're watching the bridegroom come down. And they're just watching this drama play out. And we've all seen it. This drama is happening right now. In the unseen realm, a wedding has been called. And you and I are the bride. Okay? You and I are the bride of Christ. We are the church of the living God. And there's a bridegroom named Jesus who's waiting for us. And this wedding is about to happen. And I want you to know, Jesus is coming back for overcomers.
Right.
Overcomers.
Right.
Are you one of those? Are you one of those? Revelation says, the wedding supper of the Lamb is come, and the bride has made herself ready. Those who overcome will inherit all this. Revelation 21:7. Those who overcome will inherit all this. I will be their God. They will be my children. This banquet, this wedding banquet, is for overcomers. You can actually step into that banquet today, in the sense that you can enjoy fellowship with God, and then for all eternity. That's the invitation. As we offer ourselves to Him as overcomers, as we live this story that has been described here in Revelation 12, we have a banquet to look forward to, and we are the ones who invite others to the banquet. You have invitations in your hand. A word of testimony could be the difference for someone getting an invitation to that banquet.
That's right.
Who has never understood that they have an eternal destiny. They have an eternal invitation to know God and be with Him forever. You carry that message. You carry that invitation. Be bold. Overcome. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love You. We thank You. Thank You for reminding us of these things this morning. Holy Spirit, thank You for Your work in our hearts, preparing us, equipping us as overcomers. Praise You, Father God. Praise You, Father. If you're here this morning and you know the blood of the Lamb needs to be applied to your life, and the Holy Spirit's just gently nudged you this morning about an area of surrender, an area that needs to be confessed to the Lord, I want to pray a prayer of agreement with you. There's power in agreement. The Bible says when two on earth agree about something, it'll be done for them by our Father in heaven. So I'm here to agree with you that as you confess your sin, Jesus is just and will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the blood of the Lamb. If you want that experience right now, and the Holy Spirit's showing you something that needs to be confessed, just repent. In the quietness of your heart, as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, just repent. Lord, I see it. I understand it. I repent. I want to be free today. If there's some kind of tape that's playing in your head, some kind of repetitive thoughts that are definitely not of God, you want to be free? Repent for allowing, indulging in those thoughts. Repent for allowing those thoughts, that sequence, to be played over and over again. Repent. Repent. And as you repent, Jesus is here to meet you. And I'm going to ask you, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to look up, and I'm going to agree with you that you are set free. Okay? You look up, I agree with you. And that is our prayer of agreement. I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. You. I agree with you too. I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. Mm. I agree. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yep, I agree. Yes. Is that why you're looking up? I agree. Mm. I agree. I agree. I agree. Yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. Right on, I agree. I agree. Yes. I agree. I agree. Yes. I agree. I agree. Yep. I see you. I agree. I agree. Yep. I agree. Right on. I agree. Thank you, Lord. Just pray quietly with me. Jesus, I thank you for the blood that you shed for me. I repent. I repent for, and you can just name those things specifically.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I renounce their hold on my life. And in your name, Jesus, set me free. Set me free. I resist you, and you can name whatever it is that's been afflicting you. Any besetting sin that's been holding on to you, I now resist you. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Jesus, I receive your forgiveness.
Yes.
I receive your freedom now.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Renew my mind according to the truth of your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Seal that work, Lord, in the hearts of my brothers and sisters here. Thank you. And Lord, I thank you for the power to stand and give a word of testimony. I thank you for that strength that comes from the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And I pray, Father, for those who have said they want to have that opportunity this week. I pray, Father, that you'd orchestrate our days and give us opportunities to bear witness to who you are in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
And your transforming goodness, your word, your truth in any area of life. Give us opportunities to give testimony to who you are and what you've done and the truth of your word. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And we offer our lives again to you as those who are not afraid to lay our lives down. We are disciples. This is normal. We offer ourselves anew and afresh to you. Seal these words this morning. May the enemy not snatch this away in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship. I invite you to stand as we worship together.
Nations cry.
To the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to the Lamb.